features all the sites of Mary Magdalene, the relics, and the secret holy bloodline.
Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Boy, what a show we're going to have tonight. We're going to have Kurt and Leanne Billings on. They wrote a book about Katrina Hurricane. And I've got a friend of mine over at FEMA right now. She's probably going to listen to this show. She's coming on eventually to show the conflict. She knows George Bush personally. And she thinks that FEMA is a big joke, and I'm sure that's what Kurt and Leanne are going to talk about. I want to welcome my listeners down in Florida at 1340, 1350, and 1400 AM, and making us a voice from Tampa Bay all the way to Miami, which is great. And those of you that want to look at the camera tonight, I don't have it pointed out the window. It's actually on me. So without any further ado, Kurt, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How's it going, man?
We're doing good now. We're doing good. It took a little while. Spent 7 months in bed from chemical and mold exposure from Hurricane Katrina. We were actually in Lake Charles. We weren't actually in the floodwaters. We were between Lake Charles and Cameron.
Wow.
We got hit by the feeder bands.
That's amazing. So what happened? Did you probably lost your real estate and everything, or what?
We had been in about 5 months. I was working for a casino down there, and luckily we didn't own. We were renting.
Oh, okay.
So we were lucky at that.
So you're working for the casinos. That's funny. When I was stationed at Biloxi back in the 59 and 60, right, there weren't any casinos. So
yeah.
The whole landscape has really changed down there, hasn't it?
It's amazing down there. It's more casino and more gambling. It's like the little Las Vegas of the South, with all the casinos going in, the floating casinos. So here we come with a feeder band that comes through. We get water in our house, and we get water.
So describe, now, before you get into the water in the house, describe what it's like the feelings that went through your mind when you heard that the hurricane was coming your way.
Well, I've been through.
Did you believe it was coming, or did you think it was going to skip over? What were your feelings?
We didn't know it was when we first saw it on the Weather Channel. Everything, it looked like it was going to go towards Lake Charles, and then 24 hours before it hit land, it turned. And
now, where's Lake Charles in reference to New Orleans? Is it to the east or the west?
Lake Charles is towards the Texas line.
Okay, so that would be to your east.
Right.
I mean, your west.
So we were 150 miles from New Orleans.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, we were towards Cameron. It's right dead center where Rita came ashore. It was basically where we were.
Okay.
But they still got some water damage through there from heavy rains at the beginning of Katrina.
Yeah, so you're down there and it's raining, but you're not sure you're going to have category hurricane coming through.
Absolutely.
Right. So what were you guys doing? The reason I'm going through the details is because I want my listeners, and they're all over the world, a lot of them in Europe, to go through and actually feel what it's like to be under the threat of basically death, you know, or changing of body, you know, when a storm is coming. Because a lot of people in Europe, they don't get these things in Europe and in Australia like we do here.
They are devastating. I went through Hurricane Andrew in Louisiana. I was the photographer for that shot a lot of the pictures you saw of Hurricane Andrew in Louisiana. That was my work in the with the crew that I was on. And when you see...
What year was Andrew?
Oh, that I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
It's been a while, though.
It's been a long while. And you get 150 to 200 mile an hour winds come through, and then you have tornadoes on top of it before and after, which just it destroys towns. One of the towns during Hurricane Andrew we went through was Generette, Louisiana. Generette's down, which was really blasted by Katrina. When we went through Generette, there was nothing left. There was no stones or bricks left on the Walmart. It was just leveled like a bomb went off.
Wow.
So they're devastating. People in the South, sometimes they fear them, sometimes they just party through them.
Yeah, I like the party through them part. Yeah, that's pretty much what the mayor did, right, with the school buses?
Absolutely. I mean, they
had a little underwater party.
Yeah, yeah. And to think of that, like half the city doesn't drive, and they could have pulled out a lot of people and evacuated, and they just left them. And there was a lot of things that could have been done different.
Yeah.
And before and after the hurricane. It's one of the things they should have gone on the radio and the television and started to talk about. Well, if your place gets hit, you better wear protective gear for mold. You better watch out for the chemicals. You better watch out for the different things down there, flying debris. But the main thing was to get the people out of there, which they didn't. And
yeah.
It was devastated when those levees broke.
Yeah, and I've seen those levees. I used to go up all over. I lived down there for a year. To me, New Orleans was the most romantic town in the world. I've been to Paris and a lot of places, but I always thought New Orleans, I spent a lot of time down there, believe me. I love that town. The people are so friendly. And, you know, I found everybody in any parish down there. I don't care where you went. I even dated a girl when I was young, when I was in the Air Force. What was her name? No, she went to LSU, and she looked like Connie Francis. I'm trying to remember her name. But anyway, I dated this girl. Her dad used to go out. They had a little old, like a colonial white mansion up there in up in Metairie, and it was like the most amazing place. You know, I loved it down there.
Best food,
yeah.
Very good hospitality. I've done a lot of shows. I'm an audio-video engineer and put on conventions and stuff. And I did a lot of shows in the New Orleans area and festivals across Louisiana. And it was a very much an entertainment place.
And I went to a breakfast at the Court of Twin Sisters in the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. And Frogman Henry was actually singing right there to me. Clarence Frogman Henry, I don't know why I love you, but I do. I mean, some people remember that song. And Fats Domino, of course, came from down there, too. But, I mean, it was amazing. You could actually be up close and personal with some famous jazz musicians, too.
Absolutely.
Now, I guess it's kind of wrecked now, right? It looks like they didn't fix it.
It's right now, we had just talked to some experts about 2 weeks ago, and it is basically looks, and especially the Ninth Ward, St. Bernard Parish, it looks like the hurricane happened yesterday.
Wow.
They still have piles of debris in the street. They still have the mold in the street. They still have the water damage everywhere. And unfortunately, where they did fix the houses, and they tore them down to the studs, and rebuilt them, there's still mold coming through the walls because there's so much mold because they hadn't fixed it on the streets and stuff. You got to remediate the whole place.
Yeah, no, that humidity, I remember that in the summertime, is the perfect place to grow mushrooms and mold. You know what I mean? That's got to be the place.
Absolutely.
It's so humid down there. It always has been, but I guess it's worse now with the greenhouse effect, you know, coming up. So it's got to be even worse than it was when I lived down there.
It is very humid, but you can get it to where it's not growing mold in the house. It's something that is a necessity down there for the health of people.
Well, it's been, you know, they've obviously had mold problems down there long before the hurricane came in. I would think, anyway. Am I correct or not?
I'm gonna jump in here. This is Leanne.
Yeah, hi, Lee. How are you doing? Leanne.
Yeah, doing well. One of the things that happened when the hurricane hit is it came in and it pulverized everything that was in its path. And you're saying that there was a lot of existing mold in the area. There was.
Okay, so that just spread all that spores to the wind.
Exactly. It all was pulverized, and about day three, where we were at, there was just a big, it wasn't even a cloud. It was just a mass of debris that was aerosolized, and a good amount of it had to have already settled before it got to us 150 miles away. But it was just thick. I mean, you could just see it. You could pick debris out of the air. Everybody was breathing it. And you have to know that in there was mold spores. There was asbestos. There was, you know, all sorts of toxins and contaminants that was airborne, and it stayed airborne for weeks and weeks. And when we evacuated out, it was still like that. It was just so thick. The air was thick with it. And then our problems were compounded because of the water intrusion in our house. Then we also got mold growing inside our house, on the walls, and in the air conditioning system.
That's amazing. I mean, it's scary, actually. We get the black mold?
It was black. The mold that was on our walls, it was black, and it got darker as it grew. And you could see it. It was came down the walls with the streaks where it was moist to start with. And then we thought, okay, so we had water intrusion. We tried to call our landlord. He wouldn't come over and address anything. And then within 3 to 5 days, we saw the mold growing. And we also had stuff spewing out of our air ducts and our air conditioning system. So as the air system sucked in the air from the outside, which included mold spores, and they got inside systems that were already wet from water intrusion, it just was a breeding ground for mold.
Yeah. Now tell us about some of the effects that has on people, especially kids. You know, my thing is in this world is to help children. Of course, adults, you know, they've helped themselves. I'll help them when I can, but kids are what I'm all about. So what happens to adults and children when they breathe this stuff?
Well, basically, let's start with myself, who has had allergies.
Right.
There's what they call the immunocompromised, which turns out to be about 80% of the people on Earth.
Well, it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
Called the immunocompromised?
Yeah, the okay. People that can be affected by mold, according to the CDC.
Right.
They say that people who can be affected by mold are all children, because their immune system's not developed, the elderly, anybody who has had a major surgery, anybody who has allergies. I think I've covered most everybody about now, but...
Yeah.
I was on steroids because of allergies, and I was working long hours down there, so I'd been on steroids for about 10, 15, almost 20 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Were you working out too, or what?
No, it was just for allergies. They had put me on stuff because of different allergies I had.
Were you on the Cortico steroid family stuff?
Yeah.
And so people understand what that does. It pumps up the epinephrine levels. So it makes the body a little more active, so the immune system can be a little bit more on the edge, bit more work. It's one of the things that does. You're not like this guy that just, you know, assassinated his family recently on WWF. Big difference in steroids.
Mucho difference.
But we got to clarify that, because a lot of people think steroids are in a, you know, a bodybuilding class of abusers, and they are actually a medical help in certain situations like yours.
Yeah, Nasonex and so on.
Yeah.
Anyway, when the mold, about 3 days in, I started to get really bad bronchitis and sinusitis. And by the time after 2 weeks after Katrina, they evacuated us out.
So you went through the hurricane in your house?
We went through the hurricane in our house. But we were far enough away, we didn't get the flooding. We just got some feeder bands and some water.
Yeah.
It would have been New Orleans. I would have been gone, or anywhere near there. We were 150 miles away from the center of New Orleans.
And still, you got hit that hard.
We still got hit that hard, and clear to Florida got hit with that storm.
Wow.
To give you an idea how big that is. So I have sinusitis, bronchitis. We got evacuated up to Montana. We figured we'd leave that area. I would be fine. I went into the hospital to get checked up, and they said I had about 25% of my lung capacity when they tested it, and that I did not have an elevated white count.
That's interesting.
Which is real interesting. So they gave me antibiotic, and they gave me some more Nasonex, and they gave me a metro dose pack, which is more steroids, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do for this. But the doctors up there believe that mold couldn't make you sick, and that, you know, they can give you allergies, but it really can't colonize in you. It really can't make you sick at all. So I went home, and I started to get sicker and sicker and sicker, and to the point where I couldn't keep food down. My thyroid was going up and down. It was going crazy. And
it sounds like symptoms of cancer.
It started to look like symptoms of cancer. It started to look like thyroiditis, which is caused by mold. My heart would go racing to the point where it would almost stop. They rushed me in twice, thinking that I was going to have a heart attack on the crash carts. All they could keep saying is, boy, you sure got into something. We don't know what it is. But
yeah, now, quick question. I'll just pause you for a second. Before this incident, what was your health record like, you know, through your life?
I was working maybe 100 hours a week at the time before that. I work a lot of hours in the business.
Yeah, how sick did you get as a child growing up, et cetera? A healthy kid or a sick kid?
Very, very healthy.
Okay.
See, one thing, too, is that the children and I were also sick. We were not as severely sick as Kurt.
Yeah.
And we did think that once we got into clean air and clean water that we would all bounce back.
Right.
That didn't happen for any of us. We all kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And people say, well, how come your family got so sick? When we started to do research, we realized that it wasn't just our family. Our story is a typical story of people who came through the hurricane and were exposed to the mold and chemicals. Our children were considered at high risk because children are at high risk because their immune systems aren't fully developed.
Right, I understand. They haven't had the test of the ages.
Right, right. And the CDC clearly says they're at high risk, which kind of baffles the mind when, after the hurricane, nobody put out any warnings to say that children are at high risk for mold exposure, so maybe you should think twice about bringing your children back into the mold-infested environment. Then I was high risk because I had just had recent major surgery, and then Kurt was at high risk because of his respiratory history.
Basically, you're saying every guy's had weak immune systems anyway.
Well, you know, we were considered a robust, healthy family.
Right.
I mean, there was nothing in our normal daily life that you would look and go, well, they're a sickly family. Kurt was working excessive hours, and he was, you know, had normal allergies that he's dealt with his whole life. But when it comes to mold exposure, you don't realize that those people who have allergies or an asthma history or even respiratory illnesses in their medical history, they are considered high risk. Anyone who's elderly, children, anyone who's had recent major surgery, people who are on steroids are at high risk. And how many people get prescribed steroids in order to manage allergies like they did for Kurt for 20-some years?
Very common.
Now, yes, it's very common.
I have a question for you. You think that I think that the government has gotten very sinister over the years, having worked there. Do you think that there's a possibility that they kind of like maybe flew a helicopter over the place and introduced some agents that would have hopped up the effect of this mold, or you think it was just the mold?
It was just the mold and the chemicals. I would love to say that, but it wasn't. It was just the mold and chemicals.
Okay, so you don't think it was something that was put in the atmosphere down there to enhance it?
Well, I don't think so.
I've never, you know, I've done some mold cases, but I've never seen it wipe out whole families like you guys are talking about, you know. Usually one person in the family will get an effect. Of course, it's not extreme like you're talking about, but you tell me your whole family's going out.
Well, you're looking at all the toxic fumes and fuel from the oil refineries down there. You're looking at diesel fuel. You're looking at toxic waste dumps that were all across Louisiana that all went into the groundwater.
Blew all and kind of did a big mix then.
Yeah, we're talking a toxic gumbo, as they call
it. Okay, I'm getting the picture now. I apologize for being a little slow here, but because I wasn't there. And I want you, you're doing such a graphic description, better than I've heard on any news network anywhere. So it's like you're taking us there now. My whole audience is going there with you.
It is a mess.
Yeah.
And after probably 3-4 weeks to 3 months after Katrina, they were talking about the Katrina syndrome, which was the upper respiratory problems.
Right.
And at the height of that, they figured that the whole problem was in the people's minds, and they started handing out Luvox. And when I was up in Billings, and my doctor came to me and said, this is in your head, and you need an antidepressant. And this is where we turned and said, this is sick. I'm coughing garbage up. I can't breathe. This isn't in my head, and I don't need Luvox.
Exactly.
And I turned to my doctor in the front of the waiting room, and he said, well, you're just depressed. And I said, no, doctor, you're the one that needs these if you think I'm depressed.
Yeah.
And
well, they want us. That's Big Pharma. That's another radio show. But I understand. They'll have to sell their SSRI drugs.
Yeah, and that's exactly
MOA
what they were trying to
yeah.
push down people's throats.
Yeah, I know. So I know some doctors, they threatened their medical license if they wouldn't prescribe because they're holistic, but they're MDs. And they said, screw you, we're not using any of your stuff. We'll put people on nutritional supplements and fix them.
And that's exactly where we went. Luckily, we were in Montana where they licensed naturopathic doctors, because if we would have been in another state that didn't, we would have had a heck of a time, because the MDs wanted to put me on Luvox, and we got into a naturopath who started to help us along the way a little bit. And the first thing we did is we went and got ourselves a champion juicer and started juicing.
Right, that's very smart.
And we started juicing carrots, and we started juicing some of ginger and some garlic, and I started to slowly come back.
Yeah, that'll bring you back. You can throw a little celery in to make it taste worse, and it'll really bring you back. But I know that brew. That's a good brew, yeah.
And that's what were the beginnings of this started to happen. And then while we were doing this whole fun mess, we had FEMA kept calling us and asking. They were checking on everybody. Now, are you still sick? What are you doing? And we were the only ones they could find that was getting better from this mess.
Yeah.
And they were saying to us, and FEMA's a funny group. They don't like you to record.
I know.
I have a headset, and my wife and I were doing interviews for our book.
Right.
And I put on the headset, and I called FEMA because we had it plugged into the phone. We didn't even have the recorder on or anything. It showed up immediately. The FEMA agent says, now, are you recording us? It shows you have a recorder on the line. You can't record us.
Yeah. See how paranoid they are? Well, I just put a thing up on BBS Radio today with a bunch of executive orders showing that it's basically a martial law company. And my radio show back in 1984 when they were forming it, I brought all this out, and I have friends of mine that work deep inside there. They're like informants, and I guarantee you that FEMA themselves are actually verifying what you're telling me. People that work high up, and believe me, I'm going to have some of my show with the voice recorder and all that, because we're going to start exposing FEMA here soon.
They've done a lot of interesting things, to say the least.
Yeah, they've done. That's exactly right.
So here we got FEMA calling us saying, what are you doing to get yourself healthy? Because and this is a direct quote, and I've heard this quote over and over and over again, that there's hundreds of thousands of people sick from this toxic gumbo.
Right.
And there's nothing anybody's been able to do, and there were people dying all over the place, and they were basically using this as a bunch of guinea pigs or rats in the experiment.
Right.
To figure out, well, if we give them this much mold and stuff, what's going to happen? And it was more of a statistic thing, the way we were treated. And to get your health paid or any of your medical paid from FEMA after being totally wiped out,
right.
You had to prove it and prove it and prove it and prove it. And I had to send them documents from every which way, and I had to have doctors sign to say that this came from the storm, et cetera, et cetera. And 90% or better of the people did not get their medical paid.
Yeah, I believe that, too.
You know, maybe they got their medical for they broke an arm or they got hurt. But a lot of this mold stuff, a lot of the chemical toxins, we've heard a lot of horror stories on that. And, you know, that is something that we went to Washington and after our books came out and presented our books to one of the Louisiana senators. And
So tell us about that. That's the
Washington, D.C.
You went to Washington. How did you meet the senator?
We took off to Washington, D.C. I had an invite by the two Montana senators to bring us their books. So I did that, and then we walked down to Senator Vitter's and Senator Landrieu's office.
Okay, you were in the Capitol.
In the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took one and gave it to Senator Landrieu.
You have any trouble getting into their office?
No, not at all.
Cool.
So we handed them one book, and they asked for another book for the head of FEMA department, the committee, because they're working on legislation right now, and this is something we're trying to get pushed through, and I don't know if they'll even see the light of day, but they're trying to get some legislation pushed through right now to help the Katrina and Rita and everybody from natural disasters.
Okay, are these guys Republicans or Democrats?
One is a Republican, one is a Democrat.
Okay, so there's a bipartisan effort.
This is mold bipartisanship.
Yeah, no, that's good. I want to keep this clear so everybody can hear this out there.
Senator Landrieu is a Democrat.
Okay.
Senator Vitter, who is very much embroiled in other things at the present time.
Yeah.
We've got a wonderful picture of him holding our book up, standing next to us.
Well, you should have emailed that to me. I'll put it up on the website next week. I will, because I'll keep that up there. About your books, I'll throw it up there. Email it to me.
I will email that to you then.
Yeah.
It's on my hard drive. And I've got a wonderful picture of Senator Vitter, and who spent close to 45 minutes with us.
That's really humble.
And he kept saying, wow, you're the only ones that have written a book on the health effects. You're the only one that's done this. And then he came out and finally said to us, bottom line is that the university down there at Tulane is just...
Yeah, Tulane. I've been there many times.
Just got to researching this. Just started to research the toxic gumball and why it's killing people.
Right.
Just now.
Yeah, of course.
And that just blew us totally out of the water. Why don't you bring your book to the university? Here, Mom and Pa Kettle have done the research. We've written a 480-page book.
Wow.
Our the first section is... set up in three sections. The first section of our book is on the mold testing, how it makes you sick. We have the testing down from New Orleans.
Could I pause you for a second?
And sure.
How does it make you sick?
Go ahead.
I don't want to steal the whole thunder out of your book, but I'm curious. What happens?
Well, we put that in the book so people could read it, because there's a lot of different medical classifications that they give different symptoms.
Yeah, just give us a lay trip, just a little passageway, basically, getting into terminology, what happens.
The basic thing that people need to understand is that there's different ways that you can get sick from mold exposure. One is inhalation of the fungal spores. The fungal spores can actually get into your lungs, and depending on the mold species, and the species means like which type of mold, because there's many different types of molds.
Right.
Some produce toxins, some do not. Some will grow inside the human body, some will not. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into play as to how sick a person will get when they are exposed to indoor mold exposure. So the other, in addition to the inhalation of fungal spores, you also have then the chance of infection, because once you inhale the spores, they can grow inside your lungs.
This could go to cancer rather quickly then.
Well, it can go in and infest your tissue. And whether or not mold exposure can cause cancer is being scientifically debated, shall we say.
Yeah, I would say if you're acidic, yes. If you're alkaline, no. Now, does this get up to your brain at all?
Well, here's the next thing that it can do is it can cause you psychological effects from the toxins that are a part of the mold. You can inhale them. They can be on dust particles. In the air that you breathe when mold is present in the room, it can also be on food that you eat that has mold on it. And anything that you're breathing goes straight into your brain. We cover that.
Exactly, exactly. That's how the body works. You're right.
Right. And so, and we've got PhDs that talk about that in the book. And so then that's what, that's how it is important to understand, is because down in Louisiana right now, they're saying the violence is incredible, the murder rate is up, and everyone's suffering from PTSD. Well, the mold and chemicals that they're breathing in are affecting them psychologically. And it's not, you know, depression can happen from it, but if you treat the source of the problem, which is the mold exposure and the chemical exposure, then the psychological problems will diminish. And they're labeling it PTSD and wanting to drug them with antidepressants and make everybody shut up and go away. And that's really the wrong thing to do, because if you're not treating the source of it, nobody's going to get any better. So those are the primary three ways that mold can make you sick. Infection, inhalation of fungal spores, and then the inhalation of the mycotoxins.
Yeah, and I want to add to that is that, because when I talk about the human respiratory system, when you breathe air in, it goes into your lungs, and then it goes into a very large arterial network that takes it right up to the base of the brain. When it gets to the base of the brain, it goes from a quarter of an inch artery to a millionth of an inch artery called the circle of Willis. Well, that means that all these strains are going to strain off and permanently embed themselves in the circle of Willis of the brain and just go from there.
And it gets into your blood system and circulates throughout the whole body.
Yeah, no, I can see that's a very serious thing. And I know for a fact that the spores are fairly large organisms. They're not like tiny microbacterial infections and some small viral. These guys are big.
It depends on the species.
Yeah.
But that we've covered some of that information in the book, too, because that does depend on how far into your respiratory system they go.
Right.
And but the other important thing that you might find interesting, and it might be getting a little bit too detailed here, but the...
No, it's not. Believe me, it's not. We have a very, very detailed audience. This is not a problem.
Okay. The mold colonies, they actually shed fragments, and those fragments are much smaller than the spores themselves, and the fragments carry the same toxic properties as the whole mold spores do. And they've even shown that some of the colonies can regrow from these fragments.
Wow. So fractured DNA doesn't matter.
Pardon?
Fractured DNA does not matter.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what you see out here in California. It's pretty dry. But then when it rains, it gets real humid. And then we have black mold in houses out here. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty sudden out here, even with a lower humidity when it happens. I've seen that stuff spread. A guy across the street has a brand new house, and he had a leak around his upstairs window, and he started getting, you know, sick. He's a very healthy guy. He works out every day, young 30-year-old guy. And they tore the wall out. It was full of black mold. So they spent, you know, his insurance company covered it, but he spent $100,000 fixing the problem from a leaking window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We covered some of that information in our book, too, on tight building syndrome. And some of the problems that are inherent with that. It's not just people who've gone through hurricanes and floods that are getting sick from mold exposure. It's also people living in their own home who don't even know they have a leaky pipe or a leaky roof, or in this case a leaky window, that then feeds and the whole wall of mold is growing and you don't even know it's there.
No, that's exactly what happened with Jeff across the street. You know, he might even listen to the show tonight. No, I saw it happen. It woke me up. Because I've been one of these people in my house, the roof had leaked, but I didn't have any black mold, and I have a pretty strong immune system, but I've been kind of skating around that. But when some of the neighbors went down with it a few years ago with some heavy rains, it was an eye-opener, just from heavy rains here in Southern California, which, of course, now is a drought, but that's amazing. That sounds like that book is really going to be... How's that book doing?
It's been out now about 3 weeks. And it is doing really good.
Tell people how to get it and what it is and everything.
I just, by the way, I just sent you the picture of David Vitter via email. You should have it any second. The book you can get on our website right now. Hopefully in about 2 weeks we should be on BarnesandNoble.com. They're starting to add us right now. But you can get it through our website, which is moldsolutions.info. And you can order through PayPal until Barnes & Noble comes up, and it's available on our website, moldsolutions.info.
And you should get that over to Amazon. I'm sure they take that on, too, over there.
Yes. Yes, we can put it on Amazon. We first wanted to get on BarnesandNoble.com and get that established. And then we'll spread out from there.
Are you guys going on a lecture tour, or are you joining any health-oriented organizations to, like, go out and promote this thing? What's your plans in the future?
We're working on that. We're trying to get enough media and enough generate enough people looking at it that it does that. The other thing we're trying to do right now is to get Capitol Hill to do some action.
I think that's commendable. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons we wrote the book, so that people who were in our situation could go through and take a look at, or anybody in the mold situation can take a look at the testing and how what means. And then we have the second section is on the medical end of what worked for us, what didn't, what can work. Kind of gives a good overview of the medical. And then the third section, we have an interview section of 12 experts on mold. And we have the PhDs and the medical doctors and one person who went through one of the legal cases, and we have a mold attorney who has done lawsuits on mold to show how you go about the legal end of a case, but it's basically sent put towards the medical end of the thing.
So it's like an A to Z.
Exactly. That's what we tried to do. It's 480 pages, and it's
That's a big book. You write books like I do. How much does it weigh?
It's
just about a pound.
Oh, okay.
It's 480 pages. But
okay, that's what's the size of it, like 9 by 6 or what?
6 by 9.
6 by 9, yeah.
6 by 9. I wrote one of the things we did is 10 by 12 called Rays of Truth. It weighs 4.5 pounds.
Wow.
Around here, we weigh the books. But you're in the league. If you got a pound of a book there, that's a lot of book to read. That's really great. I'm just teasing, but I mean,
and
that's a lot of work. You know,
we went through and double documented.
And by the way, you know, I'm going to be back in October 20th. I'll be back at the New Life Expo in New York, Mark Becker's event. You guys ought to see about getting a speaker shot at that.
We'd love to
sell a lot of books back there, and it'd be a good show for you. A lot of holistic people. New York City is like the solar plexus of the world. So if you get hooked up there, did you ever think about doing a show like that?
We'd love to.
Well, look up New Life Expo, I think it's .com, and then get a hold of Mark Becker and just tell him that you were on my show. And I think that I'll mention it to him tomorrow or Monday when I talk to him, that you should be coming back. This is a good topic. It really is. This is a big concern topic, not just from Katrina, but for everybody in every city, everywhere in the United States, basically in the world. But the Southwest is really bad, and California as of late, because of the extreme humidity we have here, because of the greenhouse effect, it's a very serious problem out here in the West, too. But I think you guys have really struck gold with what your book's about.
And then when you look at the Mayo Clinic study that says that 96% of all chronic sinusitis and bronchitis is mold-related, it's the cause of a lot of problems and diseases right now. And people aren't looking to mold. They're just looking to the antibiotic to cure everything when it doesn't.
It doesn't. No, antibiotics, in my practice, it's the last thing I use on somebody,
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you got to take a lot of acidophilus to repair the damage. Because it takes everything out. All the good and bad bacteria are gone. So you don't digest, you don't do anything, after antibiotics.
Absolutely.
And it steals your consciousness. That's the biggest thing I don't like about it, any of them. When I did a study on antibiotics, there were 6 antibiotics for every bacterial infection at one time on this planet. And the bacterial infections have outgrown the antibiotics now. So
they
don't work anymore. I mean,
right.
For example, gonorrhea or syphilis. Well, tetracycline was a very popular antibiotic of choice in the 50s and 60s. They won't touch that stuff. You take all the tetracycline you want, there's nothing going to happen. It's just going to spread it. I mean, that's what's happened. It's genetically altered, and the body's genetic, it's altered too. So it's very important to understand that antibiotics is not where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my opinion anyway.
We talk in the book, for people who may not be familiar with what you're talking about, how you know, the harmful effects of antibiotics, why they're not specifically, why they're not effective for fungal infections and what they do to the intestinal tract and why people could have a compromised intestinal tract to start with because of, you know, many years of antibiotic treatment, which then can make you more predisposed to a fungal infection.
Right.
And then you get the leaky gut syndrome where, you know, contaminants can leak in through the intestinal walls into the bloodstream, and all of that contributes to systemic effects.
Yeah, and you know, that's, you know what's so similar to that is parasitical infections. It's almost, what you're describing to me is almost what I've seen in parasites infecting people.
Well, parasites are live organisms, and mold are live organisms.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yes.
It produces psychotic and death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line, that's what you get out of it. Short
okay.
life and a bad attitude. I'm serious. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we use naturally that helped build our immune system back up, we noticed that some of them said this is effective in combating parasites as well as mold.
Right.
So the, you know, the similarity there also lies in how you can combat them with natural aids.
What are some of the things that you recommend, you know, that you can buy off the shelf without getting a prescription?
Well, the first thing, you know, we kind of bumbled along and we put our whole story of healing, we put our story of medical misdiagnosis, medical mistreatment, and then our kind of bumbling along how we came across different things that were effective. And when we did find something that was effective, then we went back and researched, hey, why did this work? The first thing that we started doing that worked was, like Kurt said, we went down and got a Champion juicer. And I say the name Champion juicer because you can't juice carrots with just any lightweight juicer. And we started juicing three times a day. And Kurt was at the point where he couldn't keep food down. He was, I would feed him something and he would throw it back up.
That's serious.
You know, we didn't really know what was going on at that point. And of course, the doctors were saying, well, stress, you know, he's depressed and this and that. And, you know, I've been married to him a long time, and I know when he's, you know, he rarely gets depressed. He's a very up and upbeat, optimistic person, and I knew he was really, really sick. But we started juicing at the suggestion of a friend, and what happens when you juice is all the liquid nutrients come out, and you just drink them, so your body doesn't have to work to metabolize the food to get those nutrients.
Right.
And he was actually able to keep the juice down, and he got about 50% of his strength back. And that was a big step for us, for him to even be able to start holding food down. And from there, we started experimenting with some other natural remedies that we researched out and found that they were antifungals. One that we put in our juice was garlic.
Noni.
Oh, yeah, one of the main things, and we talk about this, we devote a whole chapter to it in the book, is noni, and I don't know if you know what noni is.
Oh, yeah, I do, but tell my listeners what it is.
It's a fruit that you can find over in French Polynesia and also over in the Hawaiian Islands over that way, and there's different areas that you can get it, and we put in the book a discussion about which area the facts and the environmental factors that are going on in those areas that might influence the region that you want to get your noni from.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to use anything in a medicinal form, you need to be very careful about environmental contaminants that may have affected the quality of the raw product to start with. And then you've got your choices of, they make it into a juice, but you've got to be careful because there's many ways you can make the noni fruit into a juice. You can press squeeze it, you can ferment it, you can pasteurize it, you can not pasteurize it. And if you pasteurize something, it, you know, destroys more of the nutrient value. When you ferment it versus fresh squeezing it, you get a different set of chemical properties in the juice. And so we put in the book all the information about noni, the studies that are going on over at the University of Hawaii. We have some interviews with the lead scientist and medical doctor that headed those studies. And we shared also which exact brand that we used, and we're not endorsing the product. We're just sharing what we used. It worked for us, and, you know, we clearly state that other brands may work, you know, but we didn't try them. But people need to be real careful about buying noni juice that has extra juice in it. Sometimes they'll add guava juice, raspberry juice, grape juice. That's just added sugar, and you don't know the quality of that juice. Also, if you buy a dehydrated noni that they rehydrate with municipal water, then you have contaminants from municipal water, the fluoride, you know, any of the contaminants that are in the municipal water. And so you have to really be careful of getting a really high quality. The one that we used was an organic juice. And I won't give away all of the information, people. We really want them to read that chapter.
Now, let them read the book.
Yeah, then they can also make an informed...
You know, we have a thing called fast chat versus we have phone calls. And then I've got a few people that are fast chatting me on the Internet now.
Uh-huh.
And these are we're going to backtrack a little bit because some of them probably are late listeners. But I have a guy named Eddie who just emailed me a few minutes ago and says, what are the symptoms of mold poisoning? Basic symptoms, so we can make it very basic. We're kind of recapping here, but would you mind explaining that just for, you know, in a paragraph or two?
Usually it's sinusitis, bronchitis.
Wait, I'm going to interject here. He said mold poisoning. So,
yeah, that's Eddie said, what are the symptoms of mold poisoning?
Mold poisoning, to me, by picking up on that word poisoning, he's talking about the inhalation of the mycotoxins themselves, because those are actual toxins that poison you. And now, you have to remember, when you inhale the mycotoxins, you're also going to have the mold spores, because otherwise the mycotoxins wouldn't be there without the mold.
Right.
So you're going to get what Kurt was just going to say about the sinusitis, the bronchitis, the respiratory problems, you can have rashes, all of that in addition to the toxic symptoms. And the toxic symptoms come and play more out in your thinking ability. It affects your cognitive abilities. You can't remember as well. Help me
it's
out.
Like premature aging almost.
It
acts like Alzheimer's. It kind of makes you forget instantly.
Yeah, some of the things that we did is I would go to cook something on the stove and put something in and try and stir it, and I'd be standing there for 20 minutes trying to figure out why it wasn't heating up. Well, I forgot to turn the stove on.
Yeah, that'll help. Okay, I get the picture. Yeah.
Yeah, or you get the flip side, you turn it on and walk off and forget you put something on the stove. It was
That's
crazy.
That's serious. Now, I can walk around with my glasses on my forehead looking for them, but I do remember the stove.
Some of the other things is you get mood swings, you get angry, it throws you for a loop. It can make you very violent. That's why they're putting a lot of people on the antidepressants. That's why the murder rate is climbing so fast in New Orleans.
The other thing,
what is the murder rate doing down there?
It is going through the ceiling. It's because of a lot of these toxins make these people crazy, and these toxins can have this. A lot of times they'll misdiagnose mold symptoms for PTSD or other things because of the toxic syndromes of going crazy, the craziness, and that's the quickest way I can say it.
Yeah.
And they put them on antidepressants or the psychotropic drugs instead of treating the mold.
Yeah, exactly. Just cover it up.
A couple other things that I think are worth mentioning, so if people see themselves, they might want to pick the book up, is some of these molds release estrogenic compounds, and so
right.
They will really mess with a female's reproductive system.
That's real interesting, and it will the male system too.
Yes.
We noticed it a whole lot more in me being the female of the family, because with your monthly cycles and whatnot, you really can see when you've got a problem. If there's females in your audience that have been having challenges along that line, what I'd say to them is look around for mold.
In your house,
hidden inside a wall. Get a remediator in there, someone who can test the air for airborne mold spores. The other thing that we've noticed is that when we are around mold, we instantly gain weight, because when you're inhaling the mold and the mold spores and the mycotoxins, your body has to dilute the toxins, so your body retains fluid, which then makes you gain weight. So if I eat something that has mold contaminants in it, or if we come into a room, you know, a commercial building or something that has a lot of mold, I can gain 5 pounds just from having walked into a building. But then if I go and stop, and go a couple days of juicing and a few other things, then it just goes away. So
that's serious. I mean, a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of people in the Midwest that are way overweight. There's probably a lot of it because of mold.
Right.
That's what you're telling me here.
Right. I've lost 50 pounds. Kurt's lost 30. So I'm saying
50 pounds.
If you're overweight, you know, take a look at the book because that might point you in a direction. And I have absolutely no trouble keeping my weight in check right now.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
And how much do you weigh now?
130 to 135.
Wow. You're looking
pretty good. I went and got a dress the other day, and I was a size 8 for the first time in my life.
What did your husband think of that?
Did you get a trophy wife there, or what?
A lot of people looking at me.
Yeah, you like it? How do you like that?
I like it.
You like it, yeah. What? How does she like it? I bet she likes it more than you do.
Well, I guess you can say I'm waiting to make a little bit of money.
I mean, if you lost 50 pounds, you got to be playing with a whole new life.
Well, I used to be a size 10, but to get to a size 8, you know, it's like when you're normal weight and you always battle that last 10 pounds.
I'm on an eternal diet. I'm about 5'11", and I'm always needing to lose 10 pounds.
Once we figured out what we put in the book here, I don't have that last 10 pounds, so I went from a 10 to an 8, and don't have any trouble at all.
But what were you before the hurricane on the size?
Maybe we should have a picture of you up on the website. I think we missed something in this show here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to show my before and after because I was overweight living in the South, and, you know, it just adds on. And when you don't know what's causing the weight gain, it's really hard to get it off.
And I was 230 at 6'2", and now I'm...
Well, you aren't so much. She did better than you did.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have...
He did way better than you did, but you did good, you know.
He didn't have as much to lose.
And
no, he didn't have that much. Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he didn't have as much to lose as I did, and it just literally fell off, and I went from a size 18 to a size 14 before I even realized I was losing weight because I was so preoccupied with the family being sick and gathering information for the book. And then when my clothes were literally falling off of me, I stepped on the scale and I said, look, I've lost a little bit of weight here. So, and then it just kept coming off continually. It was nothing, absolutely nothing that I was focused on or worked toward at all. It just was a byproduct of the healthy regime that we put together that is listed in the book.
Now, we should get your book into some weight watching. Of course, you're going to actually threaten the weight watching people. I've always wondered, like, I go down to St. Louis and do stuff. People down there are just fat. I mean, in California, you know, we're all kind of conscious of it out here. But down there in the Midwest, I mean, from Chicago south, it's a mess. And you know what? That's human. It's mold country.
And it is mold in the food.
And I've seen a lot of these big people that are a little overweight, and God bless them, but they don't eat that much.
Right.
They're just big, you know. So that's amazing. Yeah, I think you just hit a big nerve here at my audience out there. I think they're all going to want your book now.
Because it depends what you eat. And, you know, in corn, in peanuts, in whole grain, you have a lot of mold.
Yeah.
And once we cut out bread and corn and peanuts...
Well, and we didn't... I mean, you'll have to read the book to get all the particulars. I mean, we didn't totally cut out bread. What we found is that if the bread was from the more refined the wheat, the less the mycotoxins and fungal contaminants are in the food. And so...
Yeah, I don't eat wheat. You know, I figured that wheat was for birds, for high energy, and I got off... I think most people are allergic to wheat.
Are they allergic to the wheat, the protein in the wheat? Are they allergic to the pesticides they put on it, or are they allergic to the fungal contaminants?
Good question. I don't know, but I just noticed that people are off it. They behave better.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is, in my opinion, the fungal contaminants.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're not right or wrong. I believe it. Because, I mean, we've done shows on sprays and, synthetic chemistry in Monsanto, Better Living Through Chemistry. We've done a lot of shows on that. No, I'm totally with you on all this. I'm totally with you. Anyhow, we're going to sign off. We're running out of time. You guys, this is a quick show.
It was. Our website, again, is moldsolutions.info.
And one last question. Are you familiar with something called Synthroid, a drug called Synthroid?
Yes, it's for hypothyroidism.
Yeah, and because one of my, Eddie wanted to know about, I've been taking 125 milligrams now for 4 years. What are the dangers?
Well, you know, I'm hypothyroid to start with, and that's interesting that he would ask that. You can check in the book where I'm talking about my hypothyroid situation. Our naturopath put me on some natural vitamins that were a combination that helped boost my thyroid ability, as well as an oil that we use and we list in the book that also helped with my thyroid condition. And I actually had to lower my medication. Synthroid is a whole other topic in itself. They had a lot of challenges with the consistency in their product, and I switched away from that particular brand.
Right.
For those reasons, and like I said, that could be a whole other show. There was.
Yeah, no, I got it. The book is a whole other show.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got to close out here. We're at 5 minutes to the hour. We got to get off the air. It's really a pleasure having you guys on with us tonight. Once again, let me have your website and your book, and then we got to close out.
The book is called Mold: The War Within, and the website is moldsolutions.info.
Very good. All right, thanks, guys. We've had a wonderful show tonight. Dr. Fred Bell signing off with BBSRadio.com, the number one show on the Internet. And we're going to warm up the jets and take off.